Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavey welcoming you to our time together. This morning I'm going to be speaking from the book of Revelation. It's one of those books that I know causes some people great fear, but it should not. And hopefully, when you hear my message this morning, you'll understand that really is a book of hope. And that is what I've entitled my message for today, is hope. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. We thank you for inspiring us with your word through the power of your Spirit. And we do pray that you will guide our ears, help us to hear what it is you would like us to hear, and help us to understand through your wisdom. So we praise you, Lord, and we do thank you for the way that you bless us and keep us in the center of your will. And we just lift all of this to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before I read our scripture passage for this morning, I want to tell you that I have just returned from a spiritual retreat down in Hickory, North Carolina. It was at a beautiful conference center down there, and it was a retreat sponsored by the organization known as Renovare. Renovare is a Latin word that means renew. And this organization was started by Richard Foster some 35 years ago. Richard Foster is one of the preeminent experts and writers and theologians on the subject of spiritual formation. A contemporary today, Richard Foster lives in the Rocky Mountains in outside of Denver, and his organization has become worldwide because it provides the kind of in-depth understanding of spiritual formation. It gives an opportunity for us to go deep in as we contemplate the whole issue of spiritual formation and the formation of our souls as we attempt to become more Christ-like. So I just want you to know it was a wonderful blessing. I feel renewed. I look forward to returning for another one of these sessions in the near future, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to have been there. So if any of you would like to speak more about Renovare and what it might offer, it does have numerous resources available. I would be happy to share with you my thoughts about this organization. It's one that I have used for many, many years. So again, this morning, we're going to be talking about hope. My message comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. So hear now the word of the Lord. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I am amazed how many people tell me they are afraid of Revelation. They say they don't understand Revelation and they avoid reading it. And you know, I can understand that. It contains some pretty frightening images and some of it is just plain hard to understand. But if it gives you any comfort, please understand that Revelation was written by the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It indeed was a revelation that came to him near the end of his life, long after Jesus' resurrection and after the other disciples had died. John was exiled as a prisoner on the island of Patmos. And so we look favorably on John, and we take comfort that he is the author of this book of Revelation. And second, it should give you comfort to know that both Martin Luther and John Calvin, two of the most prominent leaders of our Reformed faith, wrote long and detailed commentaries on every book of the Bible except for one, and neither of them were comfortable with Revelation. You know, I have Calvin's complete set of commentaries in my office. They're all neatly bound, filling one entire shelf on my bookcase. There is a commentary on 65 books of the Bible. But number 66 is not there, because he didn't write it. It was several years ago now that I had the pleasure of being a part of a small group who had dinner one evening with Dr. Brian Blunt, who at the time was the president of Union Presbyterian Seminary in Richmond. He has now retired. But at that time, he had just finished writing a book on Revelation. And the thing that I remember him saying is exactly what I have said this morning. Many people are afraid of Revelation. But Dr. Blunt emphasized that Revelation really is a book of hope. It is the Apostle John's confirmation that indeed Jesus will return, and we will see a new heaven and a new earth that will be very much to our liking. So keep that in mind. Don't be afraid of Revelation. Look at it as a book of hope. It's a confirmation of God's goodness, a confirmation of Jesus' promised return. And that should give us all great hope. Now, in the midst of intense persecution, the early Christians must have been wondering, is there any hope? What they received was the book of Revelation, written to seven churches in Asia Minor. John receives a vision of the risen Jesus Christ, an apocalyptic vision of strange beasts and cosmic battles, scrolls and trumpets, and ultimately a new heaven and a new earth. In today's passage, we see a multitude of people so large that no one can count. And this mass of people is from every nation and tribe. It says this is a theological claim about the wholeness of the people of God. No one is excluded because of their nation or their tribe. Everyone, all of the multitude, is praising God, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." The Greek word for salvation also means deliverance. And Revelation 7 is a vision of well-being and peace for humanity. In this vision, those who stand before the throne those who stand before the throne acknowledge God and the Lamb as the ultimate source of all well-being and salvation. This may be a vision of a day yet to come, but it is also a hope for today. This grand reunion with God on the throne is hope for the future and hope for today. And the Lamb that is referenced here, the Lamb is the same risen Christ who died on a cross, the same risen Christ who entrusted his mother Mary to the care of John, the same risen Christ who walked with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, the same risen Christ that transformed Saul's life into the Apostle Paul, and the same risen Christ who is present with us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. We already live in the kingdom of God, and we proclaim its truth to a world desperately in need of hope. We can have hope for this life because we know that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. In this life, we have hope because we have the opportunity to embody and make manifest this great multitude in heaven. We embody it each time we open our doors and worship with visitors and with strangers. We embody it each time we care for others, each time we pray for comfort, each time we glorify God through an act of kindness. We look at our banner that hangs in our narthex, and it says we want to be the center of our community. Well, we embody it each time that we indeed open our doors to be used by the community to the glory of God. Now, our scripture passage says that the multitude in the new heaven and new earth are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center before the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You know, as I read that, I think there may be a reason that John had a vision that included this image of hope. Remember, John walked with Jesus on earth. This image of the kind of God we will be worshiping in heaven sounds an awful lot like the promises of Jesus. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd, and he showed us a loving and compassionate God who brings us hope for the future. God's kingdom is designed so that nothing will be left that can possibly divide us. The vision of the great multitude in Revelation is a startling one if we let it stand on its own. I think many people read this passage as if the great multitude is made up of people that look just like us. But what a distorted vision that is. John says that this multitude comes from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. But the point of the vision is that the great multitude cuts across all of the ways in which we like to divide humanity. I think it is the vision of salvation that the book of Genesis articulates in the narrative of Abraham's call. It's in Genesis 12, verse 3, where it says, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." The implication is clear. From start to finish, God's purpose is to restore all people. And the vision of the vast and diverse crowd around the throne in Revelation gives us an idea of what that might look like. This vision lies at the heart of the call in the book of Revelation to follow the way of the Lamb who was slain. We know that Jesus Christ performed the ultimate act of sacrifice, and by so doing, we won the ultimate victory over evil and death and violence and injustice, and even over the divisions of this world. The biblical writers insist that act of sacrifice changed everything for everybody. It turned the world upside down, and every time one of us chooses to follow the way of the Lamb in a world that puts up so many barriers, well, we proclaim that a world of righteousness is possible. I think we can take comfort from the assurance that one day the way of the Lamb will be vindicated. One day all the walls and fences and boundaries and divisions in this world will be eliminated. And we will join with the multitudes envisioned by John. So let's be reminded what our passage says today in verses 11 through 12. This is Revelation 7, 11 through 12. "They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Yes, friends, this is a book of hope. It tells us that things are going to get different at the time of Jesus' return. But we live in the kingdom of God today. and we can be Christ-like in the world today. We can be the one who has the image of Christ in the eyes of that person that we stop and help, to the one who we have a kind word for, to the one who we offer a ride, to the one who we take a meal. Whatever it might be, we can be Christ-like. And in so doing, we are showing what the new heaven and the new earth will be like upon Jesus' return. It will be full of kindness, full of God's generosity and grace. And that's what we look forward to. And that's why there is hope in the book of Revelation. So ponder that as you go into the world today. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, today Alan Best has prepared for us a great song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. This song was written originally by Edwin Hatch. For us today, it is arranged and performed by Alan Best. Here is Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do.
Thank you to Alan. That was a great song, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, by Edwin Hatch. Well, friends, let us go out today as we look to the future and think about the hope that is offered to us through the image of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that we remember that the Apostle John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was writing a revelation that was coming to him from God. He was a prisoner. He was on the penal island of Patmos. It was a place where he had lost his freedom. And yet God chose John in this location to receive this image that he put to paper and that we read as Revelation. And I love that verse where it says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That is the hope of the new kingdom of heaven and earth. It is what we have to look forward to if we truly put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ our Lord. So have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.